Today's mailbag comes to us from Chelsea. I appreciate the work that you guys do. It's making such a big difference in my life. I am a homeschooling mom to four young children, ages 7, 5, 4, and 2, and I decided to get organized for good. The last time I focused on this was after my second child, and things have gotten near out of control. I am slowly rebuilding back my spaces, and I am feeling the lightness already. I have more time to simply enjoy these not-so-little babies of mine. Your work is important. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Welcome to the next installment of our phases of organization, our phases of life, how we use our houses, what systems and processes and supports we need in each phase of life. And I am going to, from here on out, we're not in the literature. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have my doctorate yet. I'm just going to share what I have observed in my own personal life and the hundreds of homes that I have helped professionally organize here in Cincinnati and from interviewing and being interviewed on podcasts. So we're just going to go with lived experience from here on out, and we'll see if this gets incorporated into what I do in my academic profession going forward. So because I am making the rules again, we're going to go decade by decade. And to be honest with you, I do not see examples of this anywhere else in adulthood being defined decade by decade. But my lived experience is that the 30s are different than the 40s, are different than my 50s. I'm only 52. That's as far as I have lived experience. Now, having organized people, I've organized kids as young as 7 years old all the way up to people who are in their 90s. So I've seen how houses change in different decades and how people use houses in different phases of life and different family structures. So we're going to talk about your 30s. We've just left emerging adulthood. Emerging adulthood is 18 to like around 29. And the hallmark of emerging adulthood is this in between being in your childhood bedroom to being in your own independent adult living space. So here we are. Congratulations. We've turned 30. We are going to assume from this point forward that you are living independently, separate from your family home. You may not be, but many people will at this point. So what I have said, and thank you, Rhonda, for reminding me because I forgot. I had gone so far down the literature and the academic rabbit hole that I forgot that I coined my own phases of life years ago. And I still think that these hold to be true. So the first phase of life that I coined for adulthood, I called accumulation. And I think this is a very apropos word for your 30s. Your 30s are a period of accumulation. This also starts in emerging adulthood, but it really starts to gain traction in your 30s. What do I mean by this? I mean that when you leave your childhood bedroom and you are living on your own, you realize you don't own anything. I mean, sure, you took your clothes and you took your hobby activities, but you don't own supplements, medicines, cleaning supplies, a ladder, a hammer and nails. Like you own nothing. Every time you decide you want to do something in your 20s and 30s, you have to go to a hardware store. Like I remember when Greg and I were first married, like every weekend it was like, okay, this is what we want to do this weekend. Go to Home Depot, buy what we need to do, whatever we want to do this weekend, or go to his parents because they lived locally and borrow whatever we wanted to borrow for this weekend. When you're not in your 30s, your parents' job is to try to remember that you took all their stuff. Because when you are in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you go to do something, you're accumulating children may have accumulated your assets over to their new dwelling, and now you don't have it anymore. So anyways, this is when you see all those funny memes of how parents will give their kids in their 20s and 30s, like all of the home improvement supplies for their Christmas present because they're tired of you taking theirs because you don't own everything. And it's so expensive. It's so expensive. Every time you want to do, like, I want to paint a room. Great. I need to get the tray, the roller, the brush, the drop cloth, the tape, and the paint. As you go through your 30s, as you get towards the end of your 30s, when you want to paint a room, all you have to do is get a new roller and paint. You own everything else. So you're accumulating all of the necessary items that go along with all of your new adult responsibilities and ownership that you have inside of whatever dwelling you have. Now, in addition to usually needing to go and buy whatever you need for home improvement projects, when you go to do an organizing project in your 30s, you usually do not own the organizers that you need either. You don't have a whole big bin assembly in a storage area. Like by the end of your 30s, you will have organized your storage supplies in your storage area. Like you will have an assortment of bins and label makers and all kinds of things for organizing projects, but you don't have that at first. And when you go to do these organizing projects in your 20s and in your 30s, you're going to find yourself, you know, in the Target aisle or in the Home Depot aisle or in the Walmart aisle, looking at all of the different sizes of plastic bins there are, colored, not colored, rectangles, squares, circles, all the different things. And you will stand there and in the store, you have no idea the actual size of the container that you need. So then you play this fun game of, well, that looks like that might work. You buy it, you bring it home. I honestly think 50% of the time, if you're lucky, it actually works. Usually it's too big, it's too small, it doesn't quite fit. Then you get to play the fun game of, do I actually return this item or not? It was like a $4 bin. Do I actually return it? Well, maybe I'll just save it. Maybe it'll work for something later. And that's how you start to get your stash of extra bins. There are things that you purchased that you thought were going to work, but they didn't work. And now they go in your, okay, well, next time I need to organize something, I'll use this bin. You're laughing because we've all done this. This is how every single person organizes. I don't know why there isn't more memes about this. This is how every single person organizes. And when you realize more than 50% of the time that the bin that you purchased does not solve the problem that you have, now you need to go back to the store again and try again. And so often what I find in this accumulating phase, this is where the perfection starts to creep in. This is where you say, okay, I am going to redo my linen closet. And because in your 20s and your early 30s, you have some discretionary money and you have quite a bit of time, you're like, okay, this is going to be my weekend project. My weekend project is going to be the linen closet. And you've seen pictures on Pinterest or Instagram or whatever, and you're like, and mine is going to look like that. And so you go out and you start on Saturday morning at whatever store you go to for your supplies, and you're like, okay, I don't own a label maker. I need a label maker. Holy cow, why are label makers so expensive? Okay, fine. I need some containers. Ooh, these containers are cute. I'm not really sure if they'll fit what I have, but I really like these containers. So you bring the containers home. Of course, they do not fit what you have, but they're adorable. So you label them, and you, at the end of the weekend, you have this cute, adorable, organized linen closet. And you've smashed whatever you have into the cute containers that you found because the after picture is so adorable and you feel so organized. And now you put your picture on Pinterest or on Instagram. You're like, yes, I did a fun project. Here's what happens as you progress through your 30s. The amount of discretionary money you have goes to negative. It doesn't even go down. It just becomes negative. So you don't have any discretionary money usually by the time you're at your end of your 30s. Like almost everybody going into 40 is like, the brokest they've ever been. I don't know why, it just is. Secondly, your time in your 30s goes from, oh, I'll do this fun project on the weekend to you have negative time. Like you're only sleeping 5 hours a night, you're exhausted, you have no money. You're like, what happened to my life? As you're going into your 40s, you're like, I'm not gonna make it. I don't think I'm gonna make it. But at the beginning of your 30s, you have this time, you have a little bit of discretionary income. And so when you start organizing projects in your 30s, in your early 30s, late 20s, you're idealistic. You think like everything can be done perfectly and everything will be beautiful when you're done. And if you could just buy the right container, if you just had enough time, then you could get your house perfectly organized and then you will live in utopia. I hate to burst your bubble, but that is not reality. Like, and back to this original linen closet that you organized with the cute containers that you found that were not ideal, what you find ends up happening is the linen closet looks beautiful, but because it was organized for beauty and not for function, you then go out and buy things that you already have or forget that you have them entirely and start completely different habits because the result looks beautiful, but it doesn't work functionally. By the time you're at the end of your 30s, you will prioritize functional organizing over beautiful organizing. So how do we get there? Like, at least it sounds like I'd rather be 30 than 40. Well, I mean, there are benefits. Like you get to be 50, which is amazing. But let's talk about your 30s in general. How do we go from having some discretionary money and time to lacking both by the time you turn 40? I'm not saying everybody does, but reflect on your own journey. You probably right there with me. Here's how this happens. In addition to accumulating supplies like a ladder, a hammer, and nails, you also accumulate other things. And while it's awesome that your hammer and your ladder will last for your entire adulthood, so that's why I tend to buy nicer things because I know they're going to last a long time. Like you buy a nice screwdriver set, you're probably going to have it for 30, 40, 50 years. So it's worth it. You know, it's a good thing to buy. Buying and accumulating stuff is fun and adds to the amount of physical items that are in your home. Also during your 30s, you tend to acquire people. And what I mean by people is, I mean, you might get a significant other that maybe turns into a spouse. And with that spouse or significant other, you might add some other breathing things like pets and children. And then, you know, to pay for it all, you have to have a job. So you collectively or you yourself may have multiple jobs. And then you all have to live somewhere. So you're renting or you may end up buying a house or a condo. So just right there. You may not have all of those variables. You may have some of them, or you may have all. Like, I got married, we had two children, we have a dog, and we bought a house. So check, 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 check. And I have a bunch of different jobs, and my husband had a job. So we checked all of those boxes. I have been thinking about this podcast episode for a couple of weeks. In recording these, I took a little bit of a break in recording them because I thought, okay, how do I want to segue into these decades of adult life? Positives, negatives, you get the idea. And I'm like, why does it feel so hard to be an adult? And someone replied to me on one of my social media channels and they said, Lisa, you talk about this, you know, dip of happiness in adulthood that is evident in a lot of psychological studies. She said, for me, it's a trough. Like I went down and I stayed down for like 10, 20 years and then I started going back up. And I thought to myself, me too. But do we really want to say this on a podcast? So I'm really going to say it on a podcast. Here's the reality. In accumulation, you accumulate all kinds of stuff. The solution to accumulating all kinds of stuff is when you turn 40, you declutter like crazy. And then you release this decade of accumulation. Sometimes you replace with things that are of higher qualities. And sometimes you just let go of things that you thought that you would be, do have, and you no longer align with that same future for yourself. However, that's stuff. And I think that we love the idea of decluttering or becoming minimalist or getting down to only 100 things and being a digital nomad, especially when we get to the end of our 30s and beginning of our 40s, because we are so overwhelmed by the amount that is accumulated in your 30s that you're trying to get a release valve on the pressure of less income, more responsibilities, and more stuff to maintain. And in reflection on my own life, and I think this is what this person who was messaging me was also articulating. When you make a choice to have a spouse, it's a lifetime choice. When you make a choice or are given the opportunity and the gift to have a child or children, it's a lifetime choice. When you make the choice or are given the opportunity to add a pet, that is not a lifetime choice. It's multiple decades, hopefully, but it's not a lifetime choice. So this people accumulation really impacts everything for your whole life. People switch jobs, not my husband, but people do. Some people switch jobs, some people don't, you know, and so your job choice, your career choice could also be a lifetime commitment. Like teachers typically go into the teaching field for their entire teaching career. You know what I mean? Like, so when you think about that in your 30s, your 20s, you're playing around with what is possible, trying things on, you're in the in-between. You might change things up a bit in your 20s. But by the time you get to your 30s, you're going, all right, let's settle down. I would say 30s is the settle down type decade. And by settle down does not mean at the end of the decade, you're married with two kids and a full-time job. No, that's, I'm not saying it's prescriptive. And I think this may be why it's hard to have developmental stages for adults, because there's so many different variables, so many different possibilities, and all of which are fine. Like, you get to describe what your life is going to be like. You get to choose. With that choice comes long-term ramifications. And in my observation, what I was struggling with at 40 and then struggling again with towards the end of 40s into 50s, and I think this is why I like to do decades, is at the end of each decade, you kind of look back on the last decade. And as you're leaving that decade and going into the next one, you need to lighten the load. And you need to, like, at the end of 30s, you will declutter like you have never decluttered before in your life. Going into your 40th year, if things are not breathing with a heartbeat, they are gone. Like, you're just like, done, not doing this, this out, gone, over, done. But we don't typically declutter people, which is good. You may declutter friendships. I think I mentioned in an old podcast about how I got out of direct sales. I love direct sales, but how to get out of direct sales and declutter direct sales relationships, that was a hard one. Sometimes you'll switch what you do socially. So maybe you get out of a bunco group and you start doing golf, or you get out of golf and you get into pickleball, or you switch churches. Boy, that'll change your social dynamics, switch churches. But family stays with you, right? Through your whole entire life. And your family that you choose to create, spouse, children, they really impact your entire life. And I know Greg and I got married when I was in my 20s, and we had our kids when I was 28 and 29. And this was my plan: get married, have children, be a Mrs., be a stay-at-home wife, was my goal. By the end of my 30s, which is when I started to organize 365 and quit my teaching job, 39, almost 40, lowest amount of money we've ever had, least amount of time I've ever had, heaviest weight I ever was, like just all the things. Personally, I decluttered all that I could. My job, our physical space, I did lose some of the weight, you know, like all of the things that I was in control of, I did declutter. The complexities of growing in your marriage and your parenting are not declutterable. You can get divorced. That is an option. I have not chosen that option. It's not an option for me. And so everything is not always perfect. And for example, by the time I was in my 40s, my parents were divorced and my father had passed. And I remember when we were getting married, Greg's parents were divorced before we got married. And the pastor said to Greg, he said, Greg, you're going to hit a point in your marriage where you're going to feel like you want to run away. And he said, it will be because your parents got divorced when you were 13, 12 or 13. He said, so you'll have a time in your marriage where you will not understand it, but you'll be like, I can't do this anymore. I just want to run away. And that has not happened, by the way. It did not happen. But the pastor mentioned it. And he said, and it is because your example for marriage ended at the age of 13 and split. So you don't have a framework then going forward of your parents struggling through that and moving on to the next thing. And I remember hearing that and thinking, wow, you know, at that time, my parents were not divorced. Then later, my parents did get divorced. And so when I was 40, now both of our parents were divorced, I remember thinking, gosh, marriage is hard. Like, I love my husband. I love being married. But life is long. There are a lot of seasons that you go through. And there's a lot of hard. And who do you talk to about processing through different phases of life? I think this is why I really want to talk about this, is because, you know, at the paper organizing retreats, when we sit down and have a meal and sit down and talk, we talk about settling estates and losing spouses and children being sick and like things that you do not normally talk about. And yet we need to talk about it. Like, we need to have people to talk through when things get hard. And I think as you get to the end of every decade, you have a lot of hard to deal with, and then you start the next decade fresh. So as you get to the end of your 30s, not for everyone, but for most people I can think about, the financial resources are tighter. And the reason why I think the financial resources are tighter is because by the time you get to 39, you have probably, if you're going to, bought your house or condo, and you're locked into a mortgage now. If you may have a spouse, you may have children. Children are crazy expensive. Like, I mean, astronomically expensive. I'm sure you could do it less expensive than I do it, but all of our money goes to medical and education still to this day. I mean, like, they're just crazy expensive, not optional expenses, in my opinion. So those financial decisions, like to send our child and then children to private learning disability schools, huge financial commitment. So I was thinking about this, and I was like, yes, but Lisa, you still vacationed. So in our 30s and 40s, Greg and I did vacation. We were very lucky. In our 30s, we vacationed. Well, in 30s and 40s, we have always, every single summer, gone to Florida. We drove for many, many years, driven to Florida. And his father, who lives in Florida, would help us with the condo. And we would have a week with his dad and family, which was great. And so because of that, because Greg's parents are divorced, we go to Florida every summer. And because of that, we've always had a Florida vacation. All we had to do was get there. All we had to do was get to Florida, and his father would help us. Similarly, when my parents were married in my late 20s and the first half of my 30s, they had a second home in California. And so for Christmas, we would get airplane tickets to California. So we'd get to go to California also at least once a year. My parents would pay for the plane tickets. We would get there. Everything was paid for. So we had vacations. We didn't plan vacations and we didn't pay for vacations because we couldn't afford to, because we had children. We had these other things going on. So a lot of times, and Greg and I were reflecting on this recently, the money never made sense on paper, but God always provided during that time and has always provided for us. And so it doesn't always make sense on paper, but it does work. The other thing when I think about my 30s and people in general in your 30s, I mean, I did a lot of things in my 30s just sheerly out of grit, and nobody told me I couldn't. So what I mean is, we had our house. If I wanted it to be a different paint color, I just went and bought a gallon of paint and I painted the house. My mother was a big wallpaperer. So I watched her wallpaper and take down wallpaper as a child. So I was never afraid of wallpaper. So I've put up and taken down wallpaper. When we were adopting the kids, Greg figured out how to put up a chair rail in the nursery and in our family room. So that was fun. He put up a chair rail. At one point, my friend and I, Kim, we wanted new chandeliers over our kitchen tables. And so we went out and bought them independent of each other. And then, you know, did the electrical work ourselves. There's a lot of electrical work in my house I've done myself. I mean, and this was before YouTube. We just kind of figured out how to do it. And you do a lot of that in your 20s. Like, you just try stuff. Like, oh, I think we're going to try this. You have a lot of energy. And so, you know, you just try things. What's the worst that can happen? So in your 30s, basically, you start at the beginning of your 30s, usually with a little bit of discretionary money and quite a bit of time. And you end your 30s having made decisions in your 20s and 30s that then allocates the time and money that you have available to long-range plans like spouses, children, jobs, houses, condos, cars, whatever. Like, you make some of these decisions that are not impulse decisions, or maybe they are, but that have long-term ramifications for your time and your money. And I think, especially as women, by the time you get to about 35, you realize that, oh, everyone's on the to-do list except for me, including the dog. And I think from 35 until around 48, 49, for myself personally, I've been trying to figure out how to get permission to put myself back on the to-do list. Spoiler alert, you're never going to get permission. You just have to do it. But in your 30s, I don't think you really realize this. And there's so many people, I will just be having a conversation with them. I'll be listening. I'll be like, do you mind if I ask how old you are? They're like, 38, 39. I was like, yeah. I mean, you can almost see it. Like, you're so overwhelmed with the roles and responsibilities that you have acquired by choice, usually, but the everyday ramifications of those roles and responsibilities and the financial and time allocations necessary are overwhelming. And you don't see a way out because there really isn't a way out because you're the one that created this mess. And not created this mess, but yeah, I mean, you agreed to all of these things in isolation, not thinking about in accumulation what they would mean 2, 5, 10, 15 years later, all on your shoulders. And so I think often we go into our 40s very weighed down and thinking, okay, and this is what I was thinking when I was 39, if I'm going to live to be 80, 90, 100, I can't maintain this much longer at all, let alone for another potentially 60 years. Like, there's no way. I'm going to burn out. Like, I can't do this anymore. So we'll pick up with that next when we talk about what your 40s are like, because I've been thinking about 40s for a long time. And really, you know how I've been thinking, because this whole podcast has pretty much been recorded in my 40s. I started recording this podcast when I was 42 or 43. I don't know. 9.5 years ago, however long ago that was. Okay, so accumulation is about things. It's also about people, friends, responsibilities. Your money goes from being flexible to being more fixed, and all of these things are stacking on each other. So let's answer our 5 questions for this phase of life. Number 1, what is our purpose or our job? Our purpose in our job in our 30s is to fully embrace independence from our family childhood of origin. Like, you are going to firmly establish your household, even if that is a household of one. You are an independent household. You will take on the roles, responsibilities of that fully. Number 2, what is our capacity? Your capacity in your 30s at the beginning is you've got some discretionary money and you've got some discretionary time. Our capacity by the end of our 30s is very constrained, very maxed out, trying to figure out, like, where is the release valve? How can we reorder or reorient what we have going on here so we can make it another decade or decades doing this work and working with this family and household that we love? Number 3, how do we use the physical spaces in our home in our 30s? In your 30s, and probably into your 40s, but for sure in your 30s, is when your home will do the most constant reordering. It's almost like, I don't know if when you were a kid, maybe not, but definitely for me, every time my mom sent me to time out, which was her punishment of choice, because it got my chatty Cathy-ness in an isolated area. So chatty Cathy me goes to my bedroom for timeout for whatever I got in trouble for. And so when I was in timeout, as soon as I was in there, I knew I was in there for a while. Like, timeout was not 2 minutes at my house. Timeout was 2 hours. So when you got sent to your room for 2 hours, I was like, time to reorganize the bedroom. So I was done with my timeout. The bed was in a different area. You get the idea. I'm cleaning out the dresser drawers. I don't need to come out. I would be in timeout for a period of time, and then I'd spend the rest of my day there because I was just reorganizing my bedroom. What I found in my 30s was your house. You have the whole house or condo as your bedroom. So I was constantly reorganizing things. Greg would come home from work and the couch was in a different place. My one friend swapped her dining room and living room, like swapped the whole rooms. I really toyed with that one, but I didn't do it. So you're always like kind of playing around with the spaces, and you should, because A, it's fun. And B, if you do have kids, like you're constantly, or I'm giving you permission to continually reorient that house for every single phase that your kids are in. It will make everything easier. It's just so much easier. Like if you've got 3 kids under the age of 5, put a picnic table in your kitchen. Like one of those plastic red, yellow, and blue, put it right in your kitchen. Just leave it there for the whole summer. Feed them on that. I mean, just go with it. It doesn't matter. You're not reselling the house. So you don't have to live as if you're, oh my gosh, I might resell the house. Not this weekend, probably not in a decade. So just like go for it. You're going to repaint everything anyway if you're going to list it. So go ahead and go with it. And if you have children, every 3 or 4 months, everything's going to be gone through. All the clothes, the whole kitchen, the whole entire thing. You're constantly going through your spaces. And make sure that you have extensions of home in your 30s, especially if you have children. That your car becomes an extension of your home. That's when the back of my minivan, I would call my car closet. So in the fall, there would always be coats in there. In the spring, there would be rain boots. In the summer, there'd be pool towels and swimsuits, and everything would always be in my minivan. So even if we weren't intending on going to the pool, if we wanted to, we could, because we had everything with us. If we were out with friends and we wanted to stay later, it's no big deal. I had pajamas in the back of the car. Like just, your car should be an extension of your home. When you're playing with your children, this is when I would play with my children. I do it with Grayson, my grandson now. So I'm playing. No, I'm sorting and decluttering the toys. Abby and I do this probably, Abby's my daughter, probably every 6 weeks or so. I'll go in the basement. That's where she lives. That's her condo. And I'll be, all right, let's do the toys. She's like, great. So Grayson is playing, our grandson, my grandson, all around us. And Abby and I are going through every drawer, every bin of toys. We're pulling out the things that he has outgrown and giving it to another cousin. And we're taking away some things that he used to like but are still age appropriate, putting them in the storage room for a couple of months. We'll bring them back out. He'll think it's brand new. Reorganizing what toys are upstairs in grandma's house, that's my house, and what things are downstairs in Abby's and what things are going out. Like we're constantly playing and reorganizing the toys. That's how we play, is we sort and organize the toys. The other physical space in your home that deserves a lot of attention in your 30s is your kitchen. In your kitchen, in your 30s, is probably the time when your kitchen will most act like an actual family restaurant where you're producing the whole family meal. Maybe you're having your whole family over for dinner and you're starting to accumulate all of those serving pieces and different pots and pans and really going through and keeping your kitchen organized, going through that every 3 or 4 months, going through your entire food pantry, pulling everything out, taking anything that you decided you weren't going to eat to the food pantry, restocking that, going through all your condiments, going through your spices will really save you a lot of time and money because you will use what you have. Okay, number 4, what scaffolding or support do we need to make this phase of life easier and more productive? So the scaffolding and support that you need are, number 1, you know, it's the Sunday basket. Like you need a household administration support, a place where you can put the mail, your ideas, the projects you have in action. Basically, that is going to be your time to have a CEO meeting with yourself. You're the CEO, the CFO, the COO, you're the all the O's. And you need a dedicated time to continually track and maintain all that you are accumulating and responsible for in a way that allows you the most mental bandwidth and clarity going forward. So the Sunday basket is key. The productive home solution is perfectly designed for people in their 30s. Like, if you were not taught the skills of organization growing up, maybe your family was not organized, or sometimes when your family was organized, but your mom was so organized, it was just always done for you. Now you're in your own house and you're like, I don't know how she does it or did it. And I ask her and she's like, well, you know, you just do it. Like your mom does it, but she doesn't know how to teach you how to do it other than saying you need to do it. Or coming over and maybe your mom helps you get organized and she helps you clean out a space, which is awesome. And it is great. And it is fun and good time together. However, you want to be able to know those skills, one, for yourself, and two, if you have children, to pass those skills on to them. So the Productive Home Solution, which is a lifetime purchase, really grows with you as you go through all of these phases. So setting and establishing your routines and your organizational structure in your house makes every other decade easier. It just, once you learn how to be organized, then when you're disorganized, you can create order again. But when you're not organized to begin with, and then disorder happens, it's just so much harder. Like, everything is so much harder because you want to get control. You need to get control of the situation, but you don't really know where to start or what to grab onto. And it feels like you're just spinning your wheels. So the Productive Home Solution will help you take ownership of and give you the tools in order to create organization in every single area of your physical home, which is just so empowering. And then the two binders from the paper solution that are the most important in your 30s are the household operations and the household reference binder. These two binders really support the Sunday basket in establishing and maintaining and administrating all of the household repairs, household improvements, household acquisition, holiday preparations, holiday merriment making, you know, the things that make your family, and the things that make your house, they really are Mad Libs. Mad Libs are something from the 80s. We would have these poems and it would say, add a noun here, add a verb here. And when you added it in, it would make a funny story. The household operations and the household reference binder have workbooks inside of them that basically walk you through, oh, you're having the first Thanksgiving dinner? Great. Here are all the things you're going to need to have on hand or remember and keep track of so that you know how to do this the next time. Oh, great. You're going to have trick-or-treaters come to your house on October 31st. Okay, let's record how much candy we actually handed out, not how much we bought, how much we actually handed out. And maybe this will help us with our health and wellness goals in November because we won't overbuy. And then you know where all the overbought chocolate goes, at least in my household. And then how does this fit into the phase of life map of household organization that I'm kind of creating with my image where I have the two parabolas that overlap? We're firmly into the adulthood now. So our time is being squeezed because we have more responsibilities, most of which we initially take on voluntarily. Our recollection of that may change as time goes on, but yes, we voluntarily got into a lot of the things that are taking our time, and also kind of voluntarily got into the things that are taking our money. And a lot of the things that are taking our money are no longer flexible. They're fixed expenses, so there isn't as much wiggle room. And as you go through any decade, all of the decades, everything goes just fine until you have an unexpected event. And in every decade or multiple times in a decade, you'll have an unexpected event. So the unexpected event may be someone in your immediate family gets sick. It may be that you need to step in and support your parents, as I did in my 30s. Usually, there will be at least something that happens in your 30s, which makes you realize that your parents are no longer invincible. And I think that's probably one of the most unexpected things that happens in your 30s that really starts to pull us out of this utopian thinking that we can do anything we want and everything is just going to be fine. Something happens in your 30s. Maybe it's just a scare with one or both of your parents, or if you have a spouse, their parents, and you start to realize, oh, wow, maybe not now, but eventually we are going to be the head of this family and our parents are going to need our support as well. So that's where I'll leave us in our 30s. It's a fun decade, man. I can't even tell you how many household projects and home improvement projects I did in my 30s and field trips I went on with my kids and trips I went on with our extended family. And it's just really fun. It's really fun finally getting to be an adult and do all of the adulting things. And then you're headed into 40. By the time you're at the end of your 30s, you're like, I don't want to turn 40. 40 is just so old. And I don't know. There are just so many demands on my time and my money. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the next decade. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And that is where we will pick up next week.